This morning for our Bible study, I would encourage you to get your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And let me read my text at verse 4, 5, and 6. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now here's our subject this morning, rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind, when Paul is writing this letter to the believers there at Philippi, Paul is in a Roman prison. Even though he finds himself in prison, he always writes back to these believers and encourages them to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. He always finds reason to give thanks unto the Lord. And throughout this letter to the believers here at Philippi, he constantly talks of finding great joy, finding joy and rejoicing in the Lord of his salvation. At least 8 times he talks about rejoicing in the Lord. Let me give these to you. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, what then? Notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. In Philippians 2:16, he says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In Philippians 2:17, he says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Philippians 2:18, for this same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Philippians 2:8 talks about Paul sending a preacher back to these people. And he says, when you see him again, you may rejoice. In Philippians 3, verse 1, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not a burden, it's not grievous, but for you it's safe. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 3:3, see, he says, we are the true Israel, the true believers, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, my prayer for you and myself this morning, I pray that God, the God of all grace, would give unto us this heart of thanksgiving and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul says in another epistle, rejoice evermore, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we see here in this text where Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The command of grace here is to rejoice, give thanks, be thankful. The object of our rejoicing is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the time we are to rejoice is always, he says, always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, I want to remind you of 7 important principles, 7 important principles of grace, whereby every believer can find reason and great comfort to joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. 7 reasons to rejoice in Christ. Now here's the first one. Now you think with me. Now listen to me carefully. Now think with me. Reasons we have to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the greatness of His person. In the same epistle, Philippians 2:5. We read, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him a form, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We see here we are to rejoice in his person. God Almighty, yet made in the likeness of sinful flesh, took upon him the form of a servant and made in the likeness of men, and died for our sin. We rejoice that God Almighty was pleased to manifest Himself in human flesh as our high priest, surety, and mediator of the covenant. So we do rejoice in the greatness of His person. Secondly, we rejoice in the richness, the fullness of His grace, which alone justifies us before God. Now, Romans 3:24, we read, we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer knows and acknowledges that his salvation from start to finish is all of God's sovereign, free, eternal grace, not by our works. The apostle wrote to the Galatians, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That is, by the faithfulness or the grace of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, by the obedience of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. You see, my friend, we rejoice in God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So we rejoice in His person, the greatness of His person, God incarnate. We rejoice in the fullness and the richness of His grace, which alone justifies the guilty before God. Thirdly, we rejoice in His blood atonement and substitutionary work that makes atonement for all our sin. Now listen to me carefully. All our religious efforts cannot put away sin. If righteousness is by my doing, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians 2:21. All my religious efforts cannot put away sin. You see, it's not my faith that puts away sin. It's not my repentance that puts away sin. It's not even my baptism that puts away my sin. Well, how is sin put away? Well, listen to the Scripture. Hebrews 9:26. But now once in the end of the age hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. So how is sin put away? Not by my doing, rather by His obedience unto death. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's in Christ's redeeming blood that we have redemption, deliverance from sin, and we rejoice in His atoning sacrifice, His substitutionary work. Fourthly, we rejoice in Christ, our righteousness. We rejoice in Christ and that righteousness that is freely and sovereignly imputed to all who believe. I must have a justifying righteousness just as I must have an all-sufficient atonement for sin, but I must also have a justifying righteousness. And this we have fully and freely imputed to us in Christ Jesus. He is called the Lord, our righteousness. Now listen to this Scripture in Romans 4, verses 1 through verse 7. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Saving faith looks to Christ and receives Him who is the Lord, our righteousness. Now listen to this Scripture. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God would impute righteousness, God imputeth righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is a righteousness that alone will justify us before God who is holy. The Lord Jesus Christ, as a surety of the covenant of grace, by his obedience to the law, satisfied all of its precepts and all of its penalty for his chosen people. He is the Lord, our righteousness. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of another, the Lord Jesus, shall many be made righteous. We rejoice in Christ, our righteousness. Fifthly, we rejoice in God's sovereign love to his people, which never fails. The love of Christ never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8. This love of Christ never fails to secure our salvation. We read in 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice, the mercy seat for our sin. This love never fails to provide and perform all things necessary to the saving of our soul. And nothing can separate the believer from this love of God that's manifested in Christ Jesus. Paul writes this in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this love of God in Christ never fails and will never be separated from this love of God. That is, to the believer. And we rejoice in God's sovereign mercy and sovereign love. Here's the sixth reason we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in God's sovereign providence that works all things to God's glory and our eternal good. Now here's the scripture. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. We rejoice in God's sovereign providence that works all things for our eternal good and to God's ultimate glory. Lastly, every believer rejoices in the everlasting intercession, the eternal interceding work of Christ. He ever lives to make intercession for us. We read in Hebrews 7, wherefore he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. John writes, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. When you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We rejoice in his eternal interceding intercession for us by his person, by his work, by his substitutionary death, by his glorious resurrection, whereby he was raised for our justification, delivered for our offenses, and raised again to justify us before God. You see, every believer has great reason, as Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, if you would like to listen to these comments on rejoicing in the Lord again, you can order a copy of this message. You can call me at 631-9053, or you can write to me at the church, 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky.